How many crematoriums are there in Ireland? Well, a lot less than there are graveyards, but six is the answer. But none of them in Connacht, at least until the end of March, when one is going to open in Killooney, County Sligo. Now, you may know the man behind it, David McGowan, made famous by the award-winning Netflix documentary The Funeral Director. But helping him is his daughter, Brigine, who is one of only a handful of female undertakers and embalmers in the country. Brigine has many strings to her bow, pun intended, because she is also a well-known musician and contemporary harpist. Brenda Donoghue met Brigine at the site of the new crematorium in Sligo.
So we're here now in the entrance here. We're very close. We are working away. Lots of people working here.
Hello.
Trying to get the
job you've got
done.
The building.
Now, I'll take you in here into the service room.
Okay. How long has your family been planning this?
We've been dreaming about opening a crematorium for years. It all came down to the location, I suppose. We had looked at different sites around the place, but actually the planning officers had said they wanted it to be in an industrial zone. So any airy fairy field that we thought was lovely, they didn't like. So we said, well, we already have a space in an industrial zone, and let's just put loads of money into making that look amazing. The reason why this space and crematorium is needed so badly is because there's none in Connacht. We actually, in Sligo and Mayo and Donegal, whatever, we have to drive 2.5 to 3 hours to get to a crematorium. And like you drove down from Dublin today, imagine us doing... Imagine doing that same trek after a funeral service and going through all those motions and being so... You could be so traumatised and everything. And to be...
It's exhausting.
Yeah. So we're so excited to have this space for our people. So I'm going to take you in here now. Okay. This is where the actual cremator is. You're not afraid of that, are you?
Let's have a look.
Again, with the nice light and the nice colour. Oh, Dad!
How are you, David? Are you well?
Stressed. My anxiety levels now has gone through the roof.
Okay.
And any of the listeners that are doing any sort of development today in Ireland will know exactly how I feel. Watch yourself there, be careful. You wouldn't want to end up in the retort now. That's what they refer to, the cremator, is a retort.
This is a cremator I'm looking at.
This is actually the robot that will take you into the cremator.
Wow.
That goes into the retort. And this robot here takes the coffin and it places the coffin within in that nice and gently without it being disturbed or pushed or whatever.
How much is a cremator?
Well, you wouldn't have much change out of $500,000 now for that particular machine. Yeah. But that's not including all the construction works and all the work that's... comes along with it. So you're looking at about an investment of about 1.6 million.
And you must see the need for it, though.
Well, look, I wouldn't do it and spend that sort of money if I didn't see the need. So I'm just servicing the need. Cremation is on the rise. I'd say our cremation rate at the moment, and we're in rural Ireland, is about 25%. 15 years ago, that would be 1%. So that's the direction now. People's attitudes has changed towards death and dying in Ireland. We still keep our own, you know, our rituals and traditions, which are very important to us. But we have a choice now.
Can I leave this room now? Is that all right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. It's good if you're able to leave it.
Yeah. And we're off. So why are we heading in to the funeral home?
We're going to go into the funeral home in the Market Shed. Mm. And I was actually just given some ash. So I also do memorial keepsake jewellery. And there's a girl got on to me and she's getting married next month. And she wanted her dad's ashes to be in a piece of jewellery so he could walk her down the aisle.
Oh my God.
I know. It's gorgeous. Things you can do. So we'll go in there now anyway.
So, Brigine, we have the dream for the crematorium there and the plans. But a little bit about yourself. How do you handle it? Because you're a young, vibrant woman. Sometimes you come across your very sad situations.
Yeah, I get great job satisfaction from helping people through their grief. For all the work you do put in, like you could be up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 in the morning, collecting the remains. But you have to look at it like that's somebody's special person. Do you know, you can't look at it like another number or else you wouldn't last in the job. Like, this is someone who is so important to somebody and I need to look after them so well. At the very beginning, I said to Dad, when I started doing it properly full time, I ended up having to go into the bathroom in the house sometimes, and when we were doing closing the coffin, because I was too emotional, it was too sad, and I was crying and stuff. I said, "Dad, I'm not able for this." And he said, "No, the fact that you're crying shows that you care." And he said, "That's the most important thing." He said, "Now you just need to learn how to focus and keep your focus on the job at hand, because there's a million things happening anyway." But for me, after the funeral, after the cremation or after the burial, it's that drive home from work that evening. If I'd been really affected, I'll just find myself wailing and just letting it all out. And I think it's so important to do that, because otherwise it's just like a pressure cooker, you know. Or getting into the sea, like being by the sea. And for me as well, a big part of why I can do this is because I have music as an emotional outlet, and I can express things through my music that I wouldn't necessarily be able to express other ways.
Yeah.
So we're here now.
Okay, perfect.
In Market Yard. Yes. And I'm going to bring you into the funeral home now.
Perfect.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to our funeral home.
So you grew up in a funeral home. Mm. What was that like?
We're going to go up to the coffin display area, and this is where me and my sister Mary actually would have had great fun growing up.
In a room with coffins.
So you've coffins everywhere you look.
Yeah.
They're all actually different, believe it or not. Yeah. But me and my sister, when we lived in the funeral home, we actually used to play hide and seek. And then these trolleys as well, we used to use them like go-karts. We used to go up and down the hallways, pushing each other up and down the hall. So, you know, we had a lovely childhood. It's not that it was very solemn, like, or anything, like living in a funeral home. Like,
no.
We kids will make fun wherever. And like, we didn't realise that that wasn't normal. And like, he often dropped us to school in the hearse. Now, that's when it started to get a bit embarrassing. So when you're a teenager being dropped off at school in a hearse, and he'd go right up to the door.
And Brigitte, people know you for your music, and music informs everything you do here in the funeral home. We have your harp here because you play at funerals.
Yes, sometimes people ask me to play for a service, play a few tunes or a piece or whatever. And I love being able to do that for them. I love my music. My music is, it's my true love.
As we have the harp in front of us, would you mind performing for Countrywide?
I would love to. Thank you so much. I would actually love to play a song that I wrote for my granny, Bridie. It was actually about how my granddad lost her when she was only 50. I'd be very spiritual, and I believe that they're together again now. And it's called Will We Meet Again?
And the stars, or is that just a thought we think till we die? We don't have much time when you think of it too, but I love the time that I spent with you.
Brigitte's lucky that only she didn't know the lyrics. Brenda Donoghue would have been joining in there. More of her music on Insta at Brigitte Music. That's all we have time for on the programme team today. Cara O'Hare, Aina Dacour and Brenda Donoghue.